that a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, is certainly true with regard to one of the most famous of the Old Testament prophets, the prophet Jeremiah. In the case of this prophet, it might be said, he was not without honor except in his own lifetime. For Jeremiah has been called the loneliest man in the Bible. Does his suffering and loneliness speak to the crisis of today? The Way of Life, sponsored by the St. Louis Lutheran Council of Churches, presents Mr. Norman Howell, professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in Clayton. The title of his portrait in this series is A Suffering Servant, The Call of Jeremiah the Prophet.
The prophet Jeremiah represents the servant of God, the man in the clerical collar, the preacher of that day and of today. The clerical collar can be a symbol of the privileged clergy of today, the symbol of that segment of society which has the special honor of serving God in a special way. It is often that symbol which makes the clergy accepted in society.
Symbol of acceptance? Is that all? A symbol of a certain privilege in society? Is that all? If that's all it is, then cut the collar. Throw the collar away. That's about the way that Jeremiah would have reacted to this little speech of Mr. Reinhardt. That's about the way that he would have answered this tradition of today. But Jeremiah was a man who dared to expose the traditions and symbols of his day. He even dared to accuse the temple and the temple traditions and to say that they had become the symbol of the wrong thing, of that which they had not been intended. They had become the symbol of what was evil, a prop to the people's faith, a crutch. And so the prophet Jeremiah was frequently persecuted because he dared to expose these sins of the people and these false conceptions of the people. This prophet is the prophet of persecution. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what was said a moment ago about the clerical collar. This is a very fine symbol, provided it is the symbol of the right thing. This is true of so many of the things that we have in our church. For the gaudy churches of today, the fine array of beauty that we have, are fine if they are truly a symbol of our expression of God's extravagant praise and grace toward us. But so often they are not. For if they are simply this, that we give all of our money and our time and our effort to the glory of the building and ignore the suffering brethren in our community who are just as much a symbol of God's presence and Christ's presence, then indeed, cursed be these symbols too. But the prophet Jeremiah is the man who symbolizes especially what this means. For the clerical collar is a symbol of a yoke, the yoke of service. And Jeremiah depicts this beautifully. And even though he flinches violently beneath this yoke, it is true that he receives it from the hand of God and he is persecuted for it. Now, if we look very carefully, we find that this man indeed was perhaps the loneliest man in the Bible. For he could not marry or have children. He was unable to actually participate in the mourning privileges and the joys of merrymaking of the ordinary people of his day. And finally was forced to die in a country far distant from where he had wanted to live. Truly, the loneliest man in the Bible. But the worst struggle of this prophet Jeremiah was not just that with his friends and his enemies who persecuted him, but with his own inner self. For there was a conflict between the man and his office, between Jeremiah the man and Jeremiah the prophet, between what he was and between what God wanted him to be. And this inner struggle, this inner turmoil, this convulsion from within, as he accused God and challenged his justice, is recorded in his own private words, recorded in a private diary. Now, I don't suppose that Jeremiah ever wanted this to be published. Perhaps it was that the prophet Baruch, his disciple, collected it and included in a work under his name. In any case, God has seen fit to preserve these inner tensions and these inner strugglings of this prophet. And we pray that as you watch this, you will be critical and learn something of the prophets of God. And if it seems to you that this is bold and that this is crass, what he says and how he accuses God, then remember that this is taken directly from the Word of God itself. And this is part of the translation of the private diaries of the prophet Jeremiah.
In a moment, Mr. Hobble will dramatize a few brief scenes from the life of the prophet Jeremiah, which are related to the feelings of the prophet recorded in his private diary. You are asked to watch critically and consider the meaning of this prophet's call and his cry of rebellious suffering. The voice from off stage which you will hear, which calls Jeremiah, is the voice of God, or rather Yahweh, since that was the name of God which the Israelites knew. The opening scene portrays the prophet's rather vehement reactions against his first call, and above all against the unexpected intensity of the persecution he is suffering because he dares to claim that he is actually speaking the words of God. From time to time he tries to stand up and preach doom to the people, but he breaks down and directs his accusations against God. And although he remembers the joy of first discovering that he spoke the word of God, the suffering which followed has killed his zeal, and he dares to call God a mirage. God thereupon calls the prophet back to repentance and virtually recalls him as his prophet. After having been put into stocks, the prophet is again disillusioned by the promises of God and once more accuses God. Thereupon, God remains silent. Before I molded you inside, I had your title set aside. Yes, even before the womb was tearing, I saw a bold prophetic bearing. I promise you with all my soul, you'll be protected like a brazen wall. Trap is set. The hunting call is clear for your skin, for your Jeremiah, for the black sheep of the priests of Anathoth. I wouldn't listen to their call, to their decoy, if I were you.
In the name of Yahweh, amen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you will but behold the day of your visitation and repent, return to Yahweh and repent. Look, look, the destroyers are coming. Look, pestilence, pretty. The plague, pretty. The sword, sweet. The dog, the vultures, the wild animals, Yahweh. God, God, what good is this? God, oh mother, mother, a prophet from the world.
Mother, why did I breach your womb? Why? Why did you cast me into the world? The world doesn't want me, a dirty dog, a bloody prophet. I can feel their conscience burning me now, as though I were a Jew, a wrong child or something. And these are the people to whom I'm supposed to preach. Oh, all right, God, I'll tell them. I'll preach to them. Listen, you Israelites, listen. Listen. Your wealth is worth nothing. Your treasure, that spoil. Your future, that slavery. Because the fierce fury of my anger will frizzle you. Bah! God, what good is that? I want vengeance. Oh, Lord, you ought to know. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Before I die, at least enough for that. At least enough for vengeance. After all, God, I suffer this scandal for thy name's sake. Oh, yes. Once it was different. Once it was different, the rapture of first discovery. Words divine explode the heart with joy, and heavenly manna celebrate. That's right, with a name unspeakable, Yahweh, God of hosts. Sanctified, untouched by merrymaker's hand, his coarse and laughing lips. Alone, clenched in sovereign grip, seething with fire. Today there's no joy. Only fire. Only fire. Oh God, divine deceiver, Father of lies, mirage, mirage, mirage.
Prostration, then forgiveness, then permission to grace my presence. Perhaps if you watch your tongue, you will preach a second time. No duplicity now, seducing or diplomacy. Let them cringe before you with overtures. I promise you with all my soul, you'll be protected like a brazen wall.
Yes, yes. I've had that brazen wall bit before.
The Gehenna, smash the pot and tell them all they are going to hell.
Yahweh will carry your dreams. Smash the holy city like a potter's pot. Potters to potters. Then you'll see the bodies piled high in the holy city rubbish dump. Oh, God. Now they put me in the stock. The stock. And they paint my face with spit, insults, and dregs. Oh, my God. Deceiver. Inhuman treachery. Disgrace to the Almighty. You can always win. Me. I just lose. Take it all. After all, I suffer this for thy name's sake. Compelled to preach. The fire of Gehenna. The mercy of God. The torture of God. Oh, my God. My God, it's no use trying to keep it inside. Like a dumb lamb before shearers. It's holding unmentionable names. Like hellfire within, then. And it's got to get out. It's got to. Listen to their blasphemies. Listen to their whisperings and their cursing. Oh, God. God, glorify me. Oh, God. Into thy hands I commit my case. Oh, God. Yes. Yes. My father, a son is born. Curse him like you cursed Sodom. Curse him, oh God. Curse. Oh my God. My God, hast thou forsaken me? Have you forsaken me? My God. My God.
How can we interpret such a witness? such an expression of faith and doubt such as we have just witnessed. There are some scholars and writers who call Jeremiah the father of true prayer. They compare his struggles with the wrestlings of Jacob with the angel of the Lord. But is this the only meaning of this agony that Jeremiah had to go through? Does suffering of this nature have a significant part in God's plan of salvation? Does this kind of persecution have any meaning of the life of Christ? Or can we see in this kind of reaction a mirror of how we would react in similar circumstances today? Let us now ask Mr. Hubbell how we can learn the meaning of this section of God's Word. What is its relevance? What does it mean to be a suffering servant?
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are words that expose to the quick the heart of Jeremiah's faith, and ours too. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let us ask in these words what it means for this prophet and for you and for me. For if we dare to take God seriously, somehow or another, life becomes a drama. And this morning we would like to ask you to take God seriously, just as Jeremiah did, a prophet who dared to accuse God, to tell God everything, to be God's accuser. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the first answer is quite clear. Why hast thou forsaken me? For your own sake. For the supreme punishment of God is to leave man alone, to leave man by himself, so that he might realize that he has nothing by himself without God. That without God he is alone, and that he is human, and that he will die alone. For this is the punishment of God that makes us realize that without God we are nothing. Oh, that we might, for today, take God seriously. That we might dare to stand before God and see that we are men of guilt. And that we, too, stand before God just as much accused as did the prophet Jeremiah, whom God did not even answer in his final cry of agony and punishment. That we stand before God as men of guilt. That we too are sons of Adam and sons of Cain, and that our actions from Hiroshima to the smallest and petty curse, the most vicious barb that we dig into the life of our child, or the worst stone of anger that we throw at someone in our society, that in all this we are men of guilt. And that we too stand before God accused. And that all of our cries of suffering and anguish must make us realize that we are before God. For unless we take God seriously, there is no need of death or of life or of salvation or of a Savior. And especially the man of God who hears this call of God to come and to take God seriously. And not only the man of God, not only the man in the clerical collar, the man with the yoke, but even the man who spurns the clerical collar, is to hear this call from God to come and to take God seriously, to take on the yoke, and to stand before God accused. For on that last day, when we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ, we will stand before a judge who is the one whom we have killed on Calvary. And that when we dare to take God seriously, we will learn something of the agony of what it's like to be under the yoke of God. For this is the call of God to all of us, that you see what you are, man, and that you see that you are human, and that your humanity and your death are part and parcel of your whole life, and that every pain and every anguish, every tear and every piece of suffering, every momentary outburst of frustration is a sign of God to you that you are a man like Jeremiah. And there is always going to be the tension between you the man, and the call of God, if you dare to take the call of God seriously, that you are a man, and that this means something before God, and that we cannot simply go from this morning's room, we cannot simply go from this viewing of the prophet Jeremiah and say that there is not something of that man in us. There is not something of the need of God's accusation to that man in us. And that the same call of God does not come to us like the divine record that is cracked. A prophet from the womb, my son. A prophet from the womb. Although we may not have been called as prophets from the womb in the same sense as this man, God nevertheless calls us to be prophets to this world. That we are honest with the accusations of God against society, yes, and even against the church denominations of our day. That we will dare, as men of God, as prophets, yes, to expose the evils of society, irrespective of the consequences. For this is what God calls us to do, to be his prophets, and to dare to suffer persecution. We often talk about the Christian cross, the cross of the Christian. This is not anguish or pain. This is not simply a backache or a broken limb. This is not simply a disgrace in the family or a child that is lost. No, it is much more. It is this, that we dare to take God seriously and to proclaim to the world what we believe, and that what happens to us when we dare to proclaim this is our cross. That suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. For the world doesn't want us, as Jeremiah cries, the world doesn't want me, a dirty sore or a bloody prophet. For when we dare to accuse the world as it is, a bloody and sinful mess, then the world doesn't want us. The world will spurn us. And this persecution by the world, if we have dared to expose the world and those who are in the world, we will suffer that same persecution. We too will stand with Jeremiah in the stock and learn the agony of the cross for Jesus Christ. Forsaken, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not just forsaken for our own sake, but forsaken for others. This was the role of Jeremiah, that he had to be forsaken on account of other people, that others might learn something of his work, his word, and his God. Forsaken that they too might hear and learn of God. Forsaken on account of others. Now, especially as we turn to Calvary, we hear the cry of Jesus Christ that comes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the answer comes through rich and clear, forsaken for you. For here God has dared to interfere at a specific place and point in time, the place called Calvary. And this God has dared to act in a way that is contrary to what we would expect. This God has dared to correct this world by being a Jeremiah, by standing in this world and becoming one of the suffering people of this world, daring to suffer like others. And that this God did become a man in the fullest sense of the term, that he, like Jeremiah, was suffering for others, for you. Somebody had to be sacrificed in Jerusalem that the people might know God. And that man who was sacrificed was Jeremiah, even though he flinched under the yoke. And that man's sacrifice is a type, a sign of another and a greater sacrifice, the sacrifice of God's own Son. For it is a natural part of the order of creation that things have to be corrected. And the greatest correction that's needed is the correction of sin and of guilt. That which stands between man and his God, that barrier, that gulf that is created by the world because we are men of guilt. And this correction had to be a perfect correction, a correction that was not just a momentary whim or a momentary piece of suffering, but true and full and complete suffering. Not even the suffering of Jeremiah, which was far from perfect, but was rebellious. It's the suffering of a man like you and like me, just like Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah himself, as he stands before God, is impure. And he curses God and calls God to account and asks God to take this cup of suffering from him. And even our Lord dares to say, O God, if thou wilt take this cup of suffering from me. But nevertheless, he says, thy will be done, not mine. And so his sacrifice is complete. A perfect life, perfect suffering, and a perfect death. So that this sacrifice might make up for and atone for all of the sins of the world. That this suffering might be complete, and that this suffering reaches out to you today and calls you today to dare to do and to be what God asks you to be, a prophet to the world. That you dare to take Jesus Christ as yours, to take on the yoke of Christ, and that it's not easy to be a Christian, but that you dare to take this yoke and to face the world with what you believe to be the truth that God presents to you at this moment, that Jesus Christ, the dead Jew, is indeed the suffering substitution, the suffering sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for the sins of today, and that for you, man of guilt, God has acted. God has interfered. Will you dare to invoke the interference of God in your heart this day, that God would speak to you and call you to take on himself and upon you the yoke of being God's prophet, of being Christ's follower, that you will dare to be one with him, albeit it means suffering, persecution, and death like his. For in him we are involved the moment we are committed, and the call will continue to come like the cracked record of the divine need, a prophet from the womb. And God calls you this day, asks you with all the call and the sincerity and the depth of the call that it came to Jeremiah. Will you take this suffering sacrifice of Jesus Christ as your involvement of God and God's involvement in you from time in the past and for time in the present, and that God's suffering involvement, God's interference in the total drama of dying, is for you. And that you, dear Christian, you, dear listener, you, whatever it is that you believe, will recognize in this dead Jew the living God, this dead Jew who has risen from the dead, that we might never die, and that our life and our suffering and our future are bound up in the suffering God whose perfect sacrifice is in Jesus Christ, his Son.
The Way of Life has presented Mr. Norman Hobble, professor of Old Testament at Concordian Seminary in Clayton, Missouri, in a portrayal of the prophetic message of Jeremiah entitled A Suffering Servant, The Call of Jeremiah. Next week, the program will be presented by the Reverend Milton North. The Way of Life is presented by the St. Louis Lutheran Council of Churches in cooperation with the KMOX-TV Department of Public Affairs and was directed by Dick Schlichting.